Welcome to the Mama Coach Podcast, where we are talking all things motherhood, but without the judgment. This mom gig can be a tough one, and we are here to discuss ways to make it a little easier.
Good morning, mamas.
I'm Kel Bruno, and she's Carrie Bruno, and welcome to the More Than Sleep. Mm-hmm. And
More Than Sleep Show.
It's More Than Sleep Show, and we have a treat for you today, and this is Carrie Bruno.
Yeah,
the most amazing person in the world, because she's the founder of the Mom Coach, and I think that's about it.
That is. Thank you for that incredible intro, Mickey. This is my boy, Mikhail.
Hi.
He's 7.
That's me.
And he is on spring break, so he's home with me this week.
Happy spring break.
Yeah, happy April Fools, right?
Happy April Fools.
Yeah, and so today we have Amanda. She's the Mama Coach in Van. Thanks, Mickey.
Hi.
Today we have Amanda from the Mama Coach in Vancouver joining us because we're going to talk about the things moms worry about most when they are working on teaching sleep habits to their babe. So just hang on here with me while I add her to this live.
Yeah, there we go. All done.
Okay, cool.
Better.
So I'm hoping that the mamas on Facebook can hear you. That's the only thing.
Right. Probably if I talk loud enough.
Yeah, let's hope.
Yeah.
I'll turn it way up, and then we'll see. But thank you. Where's Emily?
Oh, she's right here, right next to me, just eating her breakfast.
Hi, Emily. Hello, little lady.
Is that Carrie? No.
Yeah, whatever.
I just turned off her music. She's poking.
Aw. And Mickey was on here, but he had his moment of fame, and then he left.
He's done. That's all he wanted.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's it. But I wanted to talk about today some of the biggest worries that mamas share with us when they're learning to teach their babes to sleep. Because it feels scary. It's one of those things, I think, where you feel so pulled. It's like, on one hand, you're so stinking tired. Things aren't going well, right? Like, you're having a hard time even sometimes enjoying your baby in the day, if we're being honest, you know. But on the other hand, the thought of making a change, you feel worried about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, change in general is scary, no matter what kind of change you're going through. Mm-hmm. Right. And I think a lot of the time people, like, they want to do it, but they just want to do it right.
Yeah,
in a sense, like, they want to do it, like, if they're going to go through the process, they want to do it in the way that's going to be the most beneficial for everybody. And so I think a lot of the time that's where we're coming in and seeing people is at that point where they want to make the change, but they just need kind of that help and support in maybe finding that right fit for them.
Yeah.
And right fit for their baby, so that, you know, they don't have to go through the trial and error process, which it's hard, right?
Like, totally.
You want to kind of find that right fit the first time instead of going through a process that maybe isn't going to work out so well.
Because good morning, sunshine. I think that the uncertainty, you know, like, I think probably the number one worry of moms is, how much is my baby going to cry?
Yeah. I mean, crying in general, like,
fair enough.
Not even how much, but, like, yeah, like, is it going to be, you know, crying out of, are they hungry? Like, are they crying because they need me? Like, what is that crying going to look like?
Mm-hmm.
And that sort of stuff, which is really hard. And I think that's probably the number one question I get asked all the time, is my baby going to cry in that process?
I know. And I think that's where I'm so proud of our programs, because as nurses, it's so important that we check things off the list before you work on sleep, you know, because a baby with an underlying feeding issue, we need to resolve that before sleep happens. And I don't think it's fair to start working on sleep until you know for sure they're feeding well and they're feeling well. And as nurses, we can look at that.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think another huge aspect of like decreasing crying as well, and kind of helping them in that process that I find I'm doing a ton of is like scheduling, right? Mm-hmm. So making sure that we're finding the right timing for the baby, for bedtime. I've had bedtimes range from 6:30 to 8:30, sometimes even 9, depending on the kid.
Yeah.
And figure out what works best for their kind of biological clock. If you put a baby down way too early and their bodies aren't ready, they're going to cry, you know, and that's going to be really hard. And so sometimes we need to spend some time just diving into their kind of circadian rhythms and their biological clock and what time they're getting up and starting the day and what time they've been going to bed at night. And if we just jump into a really early bedtime, it's not going to go very well, right? So a huge part of that, and sometimes like when I'm working with families, that's really where we start is if their schedule is so out of sorts, we need to define that and get that in kind of a better routine before we even tackle independent sleep.
I agree. Yeah, because it's not fair to say that every baby and child goes to bed at 7. Yeah.
No, they don't.
No. Mine doesn't. I know. I think moms would love that, and some do, but certainly not all.
And I think different kids too, right? Which is hard if you have a family with 2 or 3 children and a 7 o'clock bedtime works for one and not for the other. You know, if you're kind of fighting that battle every night with your toddler.
Yeah.
And that bedtime just doesn't work for them. And it's kind of hard to kind of make that adjustment if you have 2 children at home. I don't know about your kids, but do they go to bed at the same time?
Not anymore. And then the baby, like I call him my baby, but like he feels jealous that the older one can stay up later. And I think, you know, with babies and with toddlers, it's even trying to manage a bedtime routine all by yourself, you know, is overwhelming. And I think that even brings us into another fear that, that moms worry about. And that's, I don't want to wake my toddler. I don't want to mess it up. Right? They don't want to teach their baby to sleep because they have a good thing going with their toddler.
Yeah. That's so common. I mean, in Vancouver, come on. We live in 2-bedroom apartments, most of us. That and waking up the upstairs neighbors are always
totally
concerned. Yeah.
Totally.
A box of chocolates.
Yeah, exactly.
No, it's going to be okay.
And even
yeah,
like
so common.
Oh, totally. And but I really don't think that it should be a reason to hold moms back. I completely understand because you do not want to have 2 kids up, but within a couple nights, you'll have 2 kids sleeping.
Right.
You know,
that's
and
better than that.
Totally. And there's just so many ways around it. First off, I think with the clients that I work with, often they say, he didn't even wake up. Like as moms, we have major anxiety about the toddler waking and messing everything up, but usually they sleep through it.
I was going to say, I don't think I can remember a time where the toddler's actually woken up.
No.
And
I always say, like, just get a plan in place. Like, let's turn up his sound machine a little bit, right? Or put one in his room if the toddler's not using it. And B, let's make a deal with the toddler before that, like include him. Like if he's, you know, 3 and up and can understand. Oh, my doorbell's ringing. That's okay. Then say, you know what? You're a part of this. We're teaching baby, you know, our little guy to sleep and you get to help. And here's your prize in the morning if you can stay in bed till the 7.
Right. Yeah. I think another huge concern that I come across and people ask me all the time is about milk supply and like cutting night feeds. And I think that comes in connotation with what a lot of people, I guess, assume like sleep training means you kind of get your baby to sleep through the night and like all that sort of stuff. And so a lot of those conversations around, you know, teaching your baby to sleep while also maintaining feeding habits and feeding on demand, depending on the baby's age and where we're at, it's okay to feed them in the night and
absolutely
have to sleep independently, right? And that's like a huge piece of what we do is we're not pushing babies to sleep through the night, but just developing those sleep skills and maybe changing what those feeds look like in order to get better sleep for everybody. Because people ask all the time, like, is that going to drop my milk supply? Am I going to have to night wean? That sort of stuff. And the answer is no.
Yeah.
No, but don't have to.
You don't. And it's all about, like what you said, changing what those feeds look like in the night. But, you know, because you need to be careful. Like, a four-month-old, if we pull all those night feeds right out of the gate, he may be able to do it. I would argue that it probably would cause a lot of crying. There's a more gradual way to do this where there's less tears. But if we pull them, like, a baby's only source of nutrition at 4 months old is milk, right? And we need to respect that. And if you pull all those night feeds, it could drop her supply. It's different when babies gradually sleep through the night, and we talk about how to maintain their supply when they do drop those feeds, but I wouldn't recommend doing it right out of the gates because I would worry about milk supply.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely, at that kind of young age, for sure, 4 months old. And I find sometimes, like, when I'm meeting with families who have four-month-olds, typically a lot of the time they've had struggles with feeding. Things weren't going easily in that first 3 months, right? And so they've worked themselves to get to this point where maybe now they are, you know, meeting their breastfeeding goals, they're exclusively breastfeeding or whatever that looks like. And it's nerve-wracking to think about dropping those feeds and what that milk supply is going to look like. Mm-hmm. I don't know about you, but I have to talk about pumping if we're really concerned about that aspect of things. So pumping typically before they go to bed or during that first nap in the morning is super helpful for milk supply.
Totally. And it's about respecting why moms are nervous about that in the beginning. Like you said, if they've made it to 4 months of age and they're still exclusively nursing, like, that is, that's not an easy feat for every mama, right? And so pumping needs to be built into the plan, as well as making sure that the babe's meeting his caloric needs, right?
Excuse me while I put toothpaste on my toddler's toothbrush.
She's done her yogurt. Now she's having a toothbrush. I
she
love it.
She's doing whatever she wants. She's taking advantage of my distracted moment.
I love it. I love it. I'm surprised she hasn't found the candy basket.
Oh, yeah. She's searching for something.
Or the ice cream.
The ice cream. Can't even say that out loud.
I know.
Yeah.
But I think that those are probably one of the biggest ones is crying. Siblings, milk supply. I'm trying to think if there's anything else that we're missing.
That people get super concerned about. Does anybody have, like, on here have any concerns?
I don't know.
I know one
that it just won't work, right? Mm-hmm. They're going to invest the money and this isn't going to work. Yeah. And you know, that's a fair question, right? If you're spending the money, you want this to work. And that's where I always go back to how, you know, we all describe it is the starting line is where we're at, where sleep, what sleep looks like for them right now. The finish line is mom's sleep goals or the family's sleep goals for their baby.
Right.
And, you know, it's not cookie cutter. Everything in between, if mom is ready, right? And that's something to be considered. And she'll follow along with us. We will get her to the finish line, however that looks.
Yeah, and it does look differently. Mm-hmm. And sometimes you have to kind of pause and
totally come
back in a week or two because we're just not quite there yet. And I think you kind of nailed it there. It's like one huge piece is we can work with babies at every age and kind of figure out something to help improve their sleep for sure. But parent readiness to make changes is so important because they're the ones that are kind of guiding that process. And so that's huge. And if you're not ready, that's okay.
Totally.
Like, spend some time, come back to me. I'm always here. So,
and there's no judgment around that, you know, like we'll start with you. And if you're feeling stressed about it, first off, we're going to work with you and see if we can just mitigate that. But sometimes it just means you're not ready. And you know what? Sometimes the baby isn't. And we need to respect that too. Like, follow the baby's lead, but regardless in whether it happens in a day or a week from now, 2 weeks from now, a month from now, a year from now, we will get her sleeping, you know? And really it can happen a whole lot sooner than that, but mom needs to be ready.
Totally. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Parental readiness is super important in that aspect. And also I just find like a lot of the times, like just support as well, like having both parents on the same page. Mm-hmm. If one parent is ready and the other one isn't, that's hard too.
Totally. Right? Cause it's not always mom. Sometimes dad isn't ready to give up those night snuggles. Woo. Right. I'm losing my phone, but it could be either parent, you know, and that's, you know, this
and
is
everyone's got to be on the same page.
It's a team effort.
It's your household, right? So that's super important.
And your parenting style, right? Like, I don't think it's up to us to tell you how you should parent your baby or your child, right? We just want to help them meet their goals, however that'll look.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I did a seminar yesterday. I had tons of questions about co-sleeping because someone there asked me, like, when's an inappropriate age to co-sleep? Mm-hmm. And I was like, well, that's a you question. Like,
totally.
I can't answer that. Right?
Totally.
So, I mean, that's whatever feels comfortable for you is when you kind of make that decision to make a change, right?
Yeah, like what we always say, it's only a problem if it's a problem for you, you know?
Exactly. Yeah.
And maybe that's even another fear, is like fear of judgment. You know, someone doesn't actually want to reach out for help because they think that we're going to judge them, you know, on what is actually happening in their household. Like, you know, and we've all been there, you know, this is, and it's just like, we're nurses. This is a no judgment zone. This mom gig, this parent gig is no joke.
Yeah. It's hard. And I think we've seen, like, to some extent, I feel like we've seen it all. So like nothing is, when people think that they're like way over here with doing whatever, I'm like, no, I see that like two times a week.
Yeah,
like,
totally.
It's really, yeah. And I think that's, you know, I mean, even that and like just asking for help. Sometimes people are like, oh, why do you need a sleep consultant or something like that? Like, and you kind of get shamed in that sense too, which is
silly.
Obviously not very nice, but
no.
It does happen for sure. And so just actually reaching out for that help. Sometimes you're worried about judgment from maybe us, but also possibly from your family or peers in a sense.
Yeah, but I think it's about, you know, what do you need? If you need it, reach out and we'll support you.
Yeah.
You
know? Yeah. You have to put your needs first, which is hard. It's so hard. That's a huge learning thing for me.
I think that's for every mama, every family, really. Like you give birth to the baby. I always say this one too, then the placenta and then the mom guilt. And I think it just evolves as they grow and hopefully you can learn skills to manage it easier. But I think there is a lot of guilt about wanting sleep, even though it's like first off a basic need. And second off, sleep makes us a better parent. I'm a better version of myself.
Yeah.
When I'm rested. Yeah. As is your baby, right?
Yeah. I always tell people that they're giving their child a lovely gift of sleep.
Totally.
and consolidated sleep. And that's so helpful. And your baby's going to be so happy to see you in the morning and they wake up well rested.
Isn't that like the best, that moment when you walk in and they're like standing, maybe if they're standing in the crib and just so happy to see you.
Yeah,
right.
I remember unswaddling Em in the morning, like taking her swaddle off
and just kicking her legs. It's the best.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that's a reward all in of itself. And it wasn't like when you make those choices, it's not for you. It's for everybody in your family, yourself, your husband, your baby, you know, whoever, grandma. Like I get a lot of that sometimes too. Like people feel like they need to work on sleep because grandma looks after baby in the day and they won't nap for her because they want a nurse to sleep or whatever. And so then you have grandma who has to look after a cranky baby all day too, which
or you feel scared to get a babysitter. So like maybe you want to have a date so bad, but you end up bringing your cranky baby to the restaurant and regretting every second of it. But you know, giving your baby the gift of sleep also gives your baby the gift of like having a mom partners that are, you know, connected, and that matters. Yeah. I tell that to my kids all the time. They're old enough to understand, but when they squawk about us going out for a date night, which we can because I trust that they'll go back, they'll go to sleep, or who anybody now, but yeah, it matters that, you know, parents are connected.
Mm-hmm. That that relationship's still there. It's mm-hmm. so important.
But right. It makes parenting easier. You know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. When you're on the same page and you're united friends and a team.
Because, I don't know, I think tired, new baby, baby, children in general, is it's a tough stage in parenthood, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, it's hard on any, like, good relationships, it's hard. If you're struggling before that, it's even harder, right?
Absolutely. So it's, and yeah, then put tired into the mix.
Yeah.
Yeah, no.
Confused. Mm-hmm. Exhausted, right?
I know. Well, I'm so glad that you were able to pop on here and chat with me about this. Yeah. And if anyone has questions, you can, you know, join Tig or just DM me or Amanda or any other mom coach. We are so happy to chat with you. And if you're feeling worried about starting with us, like, call us and we can just talk about the process and you know, help you understand a bit better and hopefully, you know, make you feel better about meeting whatever your sleep goals look like.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Thanks, Carrie.
Can you squeeze her for me? Where'd she go? Where is she?
She's back here somewhere playing.
Oh. Bye, Em. See you later, Missy. Bye-bye.
Found her phone.
Oh, she's got some calls to make. Yeah. Okay, talk to you later.
Bye.
Okay, Mom. Thanks for joining us, guys. I will talk to you soon. DM me if you have any questions at all.